If you're anything like I was, the thought of getting older was the last thing on your mind. But here we are. For me, it started slowly. The lack of energy. Never being in the mood. And when I was, I could never perform at my best. I tried the pills and other treatments with minimal results, and all but given up on my sex life. Then, I found the doctors at New Mayo Medical Center. Wow, they made a new male out of me. Feel like I'm 25 again. I have renewed vigor, so much more energy, and no longer worry about my performance. New Mayo treated me like my situation was one of a kind. With a custom treatment plan that really works, I feel great. They can create one for you too. It does not matter if you suffer from low testosterone, erectile dysfunction, or just want to last longer. New Mayo will help you.
Call New Mayo Medical Center today at 847-852-4144. That's 847-852-4144. 847-852-4144. It will change your life. 847-852-4144.
This is the Bears Fan Source for breaking Bears news, the best Bears experts, and the most comprehensive Bears coverage in town. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR in HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago. The Score! Scoreboard update.
2 o'clock, and from the Score Update studio, David Schuster with a scoreboard update. We have baseball here at Wrigley Field this afternoon. Top half of the second inning, Cubs already leading the Diamondbacks 3-0. The Cubs scoring their three runs in the first with benefit of only one hit. However, they did get four walks from Zach Godley as they got RBI, bases loaded walks to Javier Baez and Chris Bryant, and David Ross chipped in with a sac fly. John Lester has allowed one hit so far. Cubs leading it 3-0, top half of the second inning. The White Sox and the Royals later this evening. John Danks and Chris Medlin are the mound opponents. Meanwhile, Kyle Schwarber will be out the next 3 to 5 days with a mild ribcage strain. However, he says he's not too worried.
You know, nothing to rush. There's been some nagging injuries along with some of our players, and don't want to hurt the team in any way possible if I, you know, get re-injured, or don't want to hurt myself and by any means, but I'm going to try to get back there as soon as I can.
On the Lynx, Luke Donald and Colt Knost with a 4-under-par 67s. They are your leaders right now at the Deutsche Bank Classic. That's good for a one-shot lead over Jason Day, who bogeyed the final hole, so he finishes at 3-under-68. Rory McIlroy and Phil Mickelson, 1-under-70s, and Jordan Spieth blowing up again, 4-over-75. He's already 8 shots off the pace. College football this evening, Illinois playing host to Kent State. Michigan State will be at Western Michigan. Then tomorrow, Northwestern entertaining Stanford. Notre Dame goes against Texas. Wisconsin and Alabama, one of the featured games of the day. And Northern Illinois will play host to Nevada, Las Vegas. Tune into Joe Madden every Tuesday at noon with Spiegel and Goff. It's brought to you by Sam Adams for the love of beer. This scoreboard update brought to you by ChicagoFootball.com, your hub for Bears preseason coverage. I'm David Schuster, and you are listening to Chicago's number one sports radio station, Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. For tickets, visit nusports.com.
Everybody I knew here is dead.
Steve Stone.
Grilled pork chop sandwich, and it's sure to be an inside the pork home run.
Did you take your medicine today or not?
No, I'm fresh out.
Chicago White Sox television analyst.
Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Want to go with me?
No. Cy Young Award winner.
I really had no talent whatsoever at most anything, except I could play a little baseball.
670 The Score's Baseball Insider.
Of course, they didn't have Asian pitches back in those days here, but they had guys with some unusual motions.
They had them, but they were in Japan.
Yeah.
Steve Stone.
And Buxton just takes off. They got him first to second at just over 7 seconds a couple of ball games ago.
They did what?
Steve Stone with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Steve Stone on The Score is being brought to you by Schneider Trucking. Schneider hiring truck drivers now at SchneiderJobs.com, and by Harry Carey's seventh inning stretch in the Chicago Sports Museum. Holy cow! They're combining to create Chicago's ultimate sports, entertainment, and dining destination. Located in the iconic Water Tower Place Museum, admission is free for restaurant guests. For more information, visit HarryCarries.com. He's on Twitter, at Steve Stone, and he's with us on the Grossinger Lincolnwood Hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at GrossingerDeals.com. Stone, are you feeling better than you were last week at this time?
Yes, considerably.
Good, good. And are you interested in any of the young White Sox that have been recalled for September?
Well, I think certainly after watching, again, it was just one inning of work, but looking at his body of work from this year, Frankie Montas looks like he's got not only a good arm, but he looks like he's got a good sense of keeping it in the zone, and there's some late life on his fastball. I mean, he was timed at 99 miles an hour on that fastball and threw a pretty decent curveball. So I certainly will look forward to seeing more of him, but I think he's one of the guys that the entire Sox organization and a fandom can look at and say, you know what, this guy's got a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah, he's probably the most – I'm most excited about seeing Montas pitch with these call-ups. Stoney, what is – you know, if he continues to develop and really the stuff that he has shown can actually – really play at the major league level, where do you see him as a pitcher at the major league level?
A good question, because I think one of the tests he's going to pass is how he looks out of the bullpen, and then just exactly what happens with the rotation moving forward. So although I do believe he can start, I'd like to see that third pitch that really a starting pitcher needs, unless his two pitches are just overwhelming. Sandy Koufax was a fastball, curveball pitcher. They were both overwhelming, and that was it. That's all he needed. Bob Gibson was pretty much a fastball slider pitcher. He had two of them, but nobody could hit him, so it didn't matter. Most guys, however, need that third pitch, and I would like to see that from Frankie before, in my own mind, I make a decision. I mean, will this guy be a major league starter, or will he be a really good setup man or potential closer? Certainly, if he picks up a few more miles an hour by working out of the bullpen sparingly, you could see closer stuff. But, of course, David Robertson is here for quite some time, so perhaps a setup man role until he verifies the fact that that third pitch is a good one and he can confuse hitters with it.
So then moving forward and looking at the rotation for next year, what would be your thoughts if the White Sox were to offer Jeff Samardzija a one-year deal and say there isn't a whole lot of market out there for Samardzija and he takes a one-year deal to stay with the team next year? Good or bad in your opinion?
Well, I would absolutely make him the qualifying offer, which essentially is a one-year deal. Mm-hmm. And if he takes the qualifying offer, well, then you have Jeff Samardzija for another year with a great deal of incentive, knowing that he'll have only one more shot at free agency, and next year had better be a good one. That's one certainly aspect of it. Also, if you don't offer him that qualifying offer, you're not going to get the draft pick. And that's if he turns it down and actually tests the free agent market and sees he can get a 3 or 4 year deal someplace, the Sox will be in line for a fairly high pick, and hopefully they'll be able to use it pretty well. So I think all things point to a qualifying offer. The question for Jeff is, does he want to sit back and stand on his body of work that has been from the end of July until October 4th? If he does, if he wants to have that in the equation as he moves ahead, he's still going to be a very wealthy man. There's no doubt that somebody is going to want him. There's no doubt that he will get a long-term deal. I'm not looking at one of those 6 or 7 year things. I think probably the way he's thrown, he's probably looking at 3 at the outside, maybe a 4 year deal, maybe 3 years with a team option on the 4th year, something along those lines. But he spent this long earning his shot at free agency. He just might feel that it's worth taking it.
Is Eric Johnson still a prospect, or is he a non-prospect with an opportunity to prove he can get back on that track?
I think he is a prospect with something to prove, because when he came up here, the first time we saw him, he looked pretty good. Then, obviously, things didn't go particularly well for him, but he bounced back with a big year this year. You have an ERA in the 2.3s for a full season. You're doing pretty well. Plus, he was the International League Pitcher of the Year. So the stuff was there. He used it very well. Now the question is, when he comes up with the second deck on the stands and the real good lights, will he be able to be the guy that pitched in AAA this year? Or will he be the guy that we saw last time out that actually the Sox had to send out? So I'm not sure which is which. I know he's certainly very anxious to get a start, and I think it's coming up here in Kansas City.
Let's take a look around baseball real quick, and at the American League East, the Toronto Blue Jays have opened up a game and a half lead. I think they're ahead of the Yankees now. How impressed are you with what the Blue Jays have done the second half of the season?
Oh, I think it's a wonderful run for them, and it's a couple of different reasons. Number one, they made a pretty good acquisition in David Price, Ben Revere is a pretty good acquisition, and of course, when you take a look at you take a look at what this team does offensively with Donaldson having an all-world year, you pick up Troy Tulowitzki on top of it. So you're getting a top-of-the-line shortstop with a guy who can swing the bat, added to a team who can score a lot of runs. And right now, you look at Toronto at home, this is one of the big reasons why the Sox aren't doing what they wanted to do. Toronto is 45-24 at home. Most of the teams that are in the race for the wild card or the division title, they've dominated at home. Houston, 46-23. Kansas City, 46-22. Toronto, 45-24. The Sox are one game over at home. That's one of the big problems, along with the fact that they can't beat the Central particularly well and happen to play in the Central, made it a situation where Sox are a lot further back than they would like to be. But teams that do go for it, and Toronto is one of those teams that went for it all at the trade deadline, they dominate at home, and they usually dominate in their division.
When you see a team like Toronto that does it, as you mentioned, the way that they did it, that's a way that happens. You can go just to push all your chips in and go grab for veterans and know where you are in your franchise life cycle, so to speak. Then you mentioned Houston that's done it another way. And we heard from Ken Williams when he said, I don't really know why the White Sox are bad. Well, that doesn't inspire a lot of confidence in me when you seem always, this is a team always in between, always trying to rebuild, trying to contend, not quite sure what the roles are of the people involved. When you have some of these discussions internally, do you think the Sox are aware of just how difficult it is to not really have a declared plan, to really have a method to get somewhere? Because at the moment, I don't get it, and I don't have a whole lot of confidence.
Well, look, I believe that Rick Hahn knows exactly what this team is capable of, what this team has done, certainly, and I think he probably has an idea in his mind of what he wants to do going forward. The fact that they haven't really shared that chapter and verse does not diminish the fact that I think Rick is a real good baseball man, and I think he's a smart baseball man, and I believe that he's got an idea going forward what this organization is going to look like. There's a lot of young players. They do have to add maybe one more guy that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. I don't think that you can have the amount of home runs the Sox have at this point in a ballpark that is very much homer-friendly and expect to contend at home. I think that's been one of the big factors. So you would love to be able to add a power hitter to this lineup somewhere. And as far as the rotation goes, look, they got Johnny Danks for big money for another year. You got Rodon, who has proven that he's going to be a top-of-the-rotation major league starter. I believe that in his body of work this year, he's shown that. Chris Sale comes back, obviously. You've got Quintana, who, you know, on first blush would seem to be underachieving. However, it's only underachieving as far as a win-loss record is concerned. A team that would score a lot of runs for him, he could have a pretty big year. So I think the starting rotation is going to be okay. It just depends on where Samardzija decides to go, if he decides to go. And I do believe that Rick has an idea, but, you know, he's a very young general manager. He is relatively new to the job. And because of that, I don't think that he feels comfortable enough to share this vision that he probably has. Now, this might come out by what you see happening in the wintertime, maybe in the trades or acquisitions of free agents. I don't know exactly how it's going to play out. But I do believe that Rick is not deluding himself. He has a real good handle on this, and the fact that he doesn't choose to share it chapter and verse, I don't think should cause a lack of confidence. I think that the ball club just has to fill some holes. Rick filled some last year. He didn't fill as many as he had, and now we're seeing some of the ones he didn't fill have popped up again, and they need to be filled one way or the other.
So last Sunday, Stoney, Jake Arrieta throws the sixth no-hitter of this baseball season.
Yes.
And there are some people that aren't buying into Arrieta despite his numbers, even going back to last year and what he's done this year, making a case for a Cy Young Award because of his age, that he's kind of a late bloomer and it's something that can't be sustained. When you look at his arm and his work this, you know, this year or the last year and a half, what do you see in Jake Arrieta?
I see a number one starting pitcher for